Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome once again to Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to the best internet program available at this time in Dallas, Texas. I would like to thank you once again for tuning in to this show. Oh, man, we're going to have a great time here. Today, we have a special show today. It's our year-end review for 2016. I have my co-host on the line here. He'll be coming on here in just a minute here. Deacon Richard Daniel is going to be assisting me as always. I want to thank Brother Daniel for coming on, and also for you. Now, our call-in number, that number is 310-982-4126. Now, that's a toll-free number, so it's not going to cost you nothing but some time. But guess what? You're going to learn some things. You're going to hear some things that's going to encourage you. So please make use of that number. Pass that number on. Lock that number into your phone. And if you happen to miss any portion of this here show or would like to know more information about our previous show, you too could go on to our archive section of Blog Talk Radio / Granny's Plays. And you can catch up on all the shows and all the shows that Granny Plays sponsor on this Blog Talk Network here. Again, I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside. And we're going to bring our co-host on right now, Brother Daniel. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Reverend.
Welcome to the program.
Happy New Year to everybody. Everybody's going to listen to our
voices. You know, we got a little music going on in the back.
I'm getting kind of early with it, you know. How you been doing today?
I've been doing real good. I'm excited, man. I'm excited about this program. I'm excited about what God is doing. Man, you know what? We had a fantastic year, though, brother. There's been a lot of ups and downs, man, but God has been in the midst of it. This is a Christian program. Well, we bring things on, man, to encourage not only Christian but non-Christian to let them know that God is no respecter person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also God sees everything. You know, he sees the good and the bad. And he has control of the good and the bad. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, he does. Yes, he does. And, you know, so what we said, that we should not fret over evil doers, you know, because we serve a just God. You know, we serve a just God. You know what?
I've been noticing lately that a lot of people, man, they've been down in a year. You know, they said something real bad about 2016, but it's not the date. It's not the time that's really causing these problems. It's just basically, if you're alive, and basically if you realize it, we are not meant to be here forever. Can you understand that, Pastor Lewis?
And that is so true, Brother Dave.
With God or Christ, you also you understand the scripture, how we say we are here just for a season. We're just passing through. We're not meant to be here forever. And a lot of these young people can't realize that you're just here, but it's a task and a subject and a deed that you basically you're supposed to achieve in life, and basically you're supposed to find Christ. And when you don't, your life seems empty. Your life is empty.
And, you know, brother, that is so true. That is so true. Because if we go around and we minister to people and we encourage people, and they seem to have lost hope. We can look around society, man, and just here in Dallas and in Fort Worth, man, people are doing crazy things. You know, one thing that I want to make mention, because we're doing a year-end review, is that last week they had a flash mob. I call it a flash mob. Well, they got on the internet and they said some things were going to happen. And people acted on those things, man. Not only here in Fort Worth, Texas, but, man, across the country. I'll be wondering, wow, man, I love the internet, you know, because to me it's a valuable tool because I can do a lot of research in the comfort of my own home, man, sitting up in the car on the phone with these smartphones. But it's now people are taking advantage of people that doesn't have a like mind or mentality, or people that are, I would say, weak at understanding certain things.
Easily controlled. They're reacting to any kind of thing, any kind of situation. Basically, if you look at it, and I look at it, like that's another subject that's been happening around in America, in Dallas, Texas. We had a police shooting, right?
Right.
We had a mall around the corner. The people look at the internet, they see some people say, all lives matter. Black lives matter. All lives matter. Right? And they basically, they react. They react to what you see. Basically, when something happens, immediately it goes to these Facebook sites or any other sites that they have. And we see mass reaction from people all around the country. And I kind of can see, you know, when I was growing up, I noticed I used to watch all these news flashes from these people in these other countries like India and Pakistan and Turkey. And you know, I see all these people acting wild and crazy. I said, well, all these people acting uncivilized like that. But then if you flip the script, and you look around, what do you think these people around these other worlds thinking about us right now? They look and we see we acting wild and crazy and shooting each other and fighting each other, getting mad because we got a certain president and elected, and I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to, you know. And they look and say, why? We're supposed to be a civilized nation. But we react to anything. So basically, we're gonna go through some of the events what happened in America, and basically, I think in January some things happened. You know, like this guy named Al Chapo. You know, he's supposed to be like kingpin of all the drug stuff all over the world. And I think they say Sean Penn got with him, talked him over, and about another two weeks or a month later they caught El Chapo. So basically, I'm not saying, but something happened in the Brentwood, huh?
It's been a strange show there.
The man gonna give you an in-depth interview and talk to you, and then later on they got you. You know, but he got caught, and basically, you know, anytime you do something, he got a lot of power and authority. But then again, and nothing. Nobody's greater than God. God is in control. Like I'm saying, he'll let you do so bad so long, but sooner or later you're going to get caught. Amen.
That is so true. That is so true. You know, brother, that's some good stuff there, though, you know, because, and you know, that's some good information for our young kids, man, and our young men and women. Because I like to deal with youth ministry. And sometimes our young men and women get overwhelmed by the here and now. And they don't see themselves into tomorrow. And so they try to get all they can. And they look around, they see these people, which are so-called kingpin and drug dealers or hustlers, and they seem to be success. But we know that success is only for a moment. That success is only temporary.
Yeah,
and so
temporary.
We have to enlighten the people that we encounter. And that's even homeless people. When they lost hope, man, I do ministry. I see brothers and sisters, man, that's been homeless, man, for 20 years, Brother Dan. Can you imagine living on the street 20 years, staying up under a bridge for so many years? Because all these things are transitional. They don't stay in that condition for 20 years, but they living in that condition for 20 years, you know?
That's a long time.
And because it's a mindset. It's a mind thing. You don't have to be living up under the bridge to be homeless. You could be at a shelter.
Yeah.
You know, you could be going in and out of shelters. Because let's face it, these people, they have a break in this here homelessness for a season. But they have a difficulty managing the good times of their life. You know how it is during the income tax time. When people get some money, how they go a little crazy, insane, until their money is gone. Oh, I got to have this. I got to have that.
Reverend Lewis, I think the subject of homelessness, basically, if you look at it, everybody cannot be rich and have a lot of money in our society where we got set up now. And ever since beginning of time, there's always been a class structure in our world, in America. You had the upper crust people, the kings and the lords. And then at the same time, they judge the people. They treat the people like peasants. You know what I'm saying? The kings had all the money, but he threw the bread and the food to the people. And then they just, they had to go from there. You know what I'm saying? And then eventually, the people rebel against the king and get rid of the king and put another man in the king. You know, and I think when I look at the Bible, I said the people of Israel wanted a king, because basically they wanted somebody to rule over them. And then since they better than the king, and like it just everything just went downhill after then. You know, they gave the people what they wanted. You cannot give the people everything what they want. Everything, everybody wants something. You want something, I want something. Everybody wants something, but everybody cannot have their way. What kind of world would it be, Reverend Lewis, that everybody wanted to get it? They do everything they want. I can go out and I can take your money, I can take your car, I can take your land, just because I want it, you know? And basically, I see a time, probably in the future one day, basically we're going to be just like it going back in the old civilization. I remember I saw this movie called, Denzel Washington was in, talking about the Book of Eli.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie, man. I enjoyed it. But it had a lot of it was a symbolic move, gesture. It was symbolic to let you know, hey,
the whole world was surviving. They were just trying to get around because the world basically got so wicked it destroyed its own self.
Yeah,
you know. And so everybody was just walking around like wild men, but at the same time. This is the revelation. They were searching the word, searching the word of God. And it was hidden.
Yeah.
It wasn't hidden, but, there was one man had it, and everybody went, this other man was searching for this word. He was searching for something. He was searching for another movement, because they had got tired of what was going on. They're tired of what's going on. So I don't know why we're going this way, what we're going tonight, in the night of New Year. But basically, what I'm saying now, I'm saying that as 2016 is winding down, and I see all my people that I basically, I used to emulate, you know what I'm saying? All my stars, my actors, and musicians, and athletes, they came to a point where they had to give it up. Reverend Lewis, we all going to have to die, But I think the first death was Senior David Lewis. You know him?
Yeah, I know him. I remember when we were younger, we listened to that type of music. And David Lewis was a great entertainer at the time that we were listening to, because we had our minds set on that type of music.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't too much get off into it, Rev Lord. I'm a musician. I listen to a whole lot of styles of music.
Yeah, you liked the jazz.
They said he was a pacemaker, but basically, he was kind of real out there. He was real out there. For somebody to get real out there to me.
That was some crazy times that we was in, man. In the 70s and 80s, man. That was some times.
I can't get off into that cross gender stuff anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm not.
Yeah.
And that's basically what really turned me off anyway. About, you know what I'm saying? ain't my cup of tea. But anyway, And we had this Zika virus came up. All these people, man, worried about getting sick from mosquitoes biting you. We're going to have this Olympics, and we don't want all these people down here. And they got scared and afraid. Also, I know that you're not supposed to be, my God is not the author of fear. You know who the author of fear and confusion is. They want to scare everybody. You can't live in the world and be afraid. Bob Correa came out.
Yeah.
They came out and announced, we're going to get some weapons. We want to auto bomb old Kim over there, Old Kim, with them and Dennis Rodman. I mean, how can Dennis Rodman go talk to this man when nobody else can?
Hey man, cause like man, like man is a light, brother. That's what that is. You like man.
You know that shit. Homosexuals and everything with him and everything. Man, I said, dog, this man one of the most fearful men in the world. And here we are, we got this dude right here. He over there talking to homeboy. Like he's, they drank out the same bottle. You know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, Brother Daniel, I was just thinking about some of the shows we had on here the last few years. Back in October, we had My Son Is in a Gang, you know, where we were talking about gang violence and how youth violence is running rampant, and that was very insightful about My Gang Is in My Son. And, you know, you don't have to be in a gang that's running around terrorizing people. That means just being disobedient sometimes. It's just not following the rules, you know, just you and your friends go out and y'all just do y'all own thing. And then, we had this young man here because of the election, man. We had a Trump supporter, a black Republican that was old, man. And that really was some insight, man, to me, you know, to see how people that voted for Donald Trump and the mindset. And, Rick, you know, I really got an eye-opening experience there with that Trump supporter that was on the line here because it allowed me to see his point of view. It allowed me to try to redirect his mind in some things that maybe we need a Republican per se to speak about Democratic issues, because Democratic issues are Republican issues and Republican issues are Democratic issues. I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about wages. I'm talking about health care. All those should be both parties' agenda. And so I couldn't get too mad at this Republican for voting for Trump, because as he get in there, hopefully he'll change his mind when he see my point of view on some things and work on the inside out, you know?
Everything President-elect Trump said, he can't make happen because he got to vote all this stuff in. Now, he can come to prison, but just like they did Obama,
what they did. They stalled, and so we need some black Republicans that's thinking about a Democratic wage, you know, because they came from a poor family, they struggle, they know how the economy is. You just doing a little bit better now.
Baby, you have to see both parts of an argument. Really.
Exactly.
You got to know both sides of the picture to get the big picture. You can't be closed-minded about certain issues.
Yeah. And, you know, that was so true, man, because my Republican friend, I'm not going to mention his name now, I'm pretty sure he don't mind, but he was telling me, man, that how some people that really got mad at him, man, they cussed at him, and they called him some derogatory names, man, and he said, man, just kind of out of Republican. He said it hurt his feelings, man, because he just wanted to do, and he may have grew up in a Republican family back then. His parents could have been Republican back in the Nixon and the Ronald Reagan era, you know. Because all the people, my mother talking about, she was a Republican, you know. And there's a lot of black Republicans around, you know.
I can tell you what happened, man. Don't you know that President Lincoln was a Republican?
Yeah.
And so basically,
yeah, so that kind of a lot of black people be Frederick Douglass was a Republican, man.
Yeah, everybody was basically, they didn't know too much about, you know, the election progress and what happens in America. So they sided with the Republican Party.
Well, because of what they did back in emancipation.
Yeah, yeah. And later on, when we started learning about the laws and legislation, we got kind of up there in Congress and stuff. They start learning, basically, some people talk certain ways, and basically some people talking another way. And some people talk with two-faced. You got some politicians are two-faced. They got both. They got two sides of the agenda they work with. You know? And I can't really understand why, and then I'm looking at it, so it's basically, I know some of them that switch parties. They switch. So it can happen to anybody. Anybody can basically, you can learn something, and then you say, I didn't know that was like that. Maybe I should change my views. You know? And so, we're going on now with what's happening in America. I think President Obama was one of the first people to go to Cuba in 88 years. You know what I'm saying? Now, we're talking about a society that basically was closed off. And you know how that Red Rock was talking about how you put a person in charge. Fidel Castro was one of the most hated men in the world. Because basically what he did to his people, he just ruled with an iron fist. You know what I'm saying? If you didn't go his way, he would line you up before a firing squad and he'll kill you. He'll do away with you. And so basically there was mass exodus many years from people just, they'd rather die in the water swimming 60 miles from Cuba to Florida to get away from this man. Can you imagine that, Reverend Lewis?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Water and be threatened to getting ate up by sharks and other stuff in the water and drowning, basically trying to get away and be free. Man, with it. So they say he was a terror. I don't know, because like I'm saying, I didn't see one side of the picture. So you didn't see one part of a picture that basically was the same. I heard some people saying one time that Castro used to have he'll give you probably three pair of blue jeans and two bags of beans and one big cup of coffee, and that was your food for the whole month. And your clothes for all month. And if you waste that up in the month, you wouldn't get nothing else. So it wasn't no food stamp. It wasn't no SSR, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. No assistance as we know it today.
You just had to suffer. You know, and basically they couldn't take it. A lot of people couldn't take it. Basically, they hated him. They hated him with a compassion. They hated that man. A lot of people still hated him. You know, and if you saw that what was going on last week, they said they had everybody was in line looking at his body, and they gonna have his body go all around the country, and you know what I'm saying? They said they made the people do that. Was mandatory that you
honor this
thing.
I heard that, man.
He still had control over them, even in his death.
Yeah. You know, I gotta think about a country that controls you like that, that's mandatory. And that's what they want people to be today, man. It's society in different countries and different leaders and dictators and they want people to be in a compliance, and they'll do whatever it takes, whether it's giving them what they need, even just what they think they need, and a pacified society. With the election, man, we're going to switch gears now. With the election coming up, man, Donald Trump is putting all his people in play, but he's going to give the society what he think they need and what they asking for, but in turn, he's going to get a lot of what he wants and what he's asking for. You know what I'm saying? You give us a little bit, I'm going to take the rest, and you all going to be happy I'm just going to give you something.
What do you think President-elect Obama wants for this country? He wants to run it like a business, right?
You talking about Donald Trump. You talking about
Donald Trump. He wants to run America like a business. Basically, he's saying that he wants to try to bring the economy up, and basically what he said, he want to pay back all these people that basically we owe. And basically, they're mostly controlling our country because we owe them. We owe China. We owe them a lot of money. We probably owe Russia some money. We owe everybody. You know, basically, they let all these products you see in America mostly come from China or Taiwan.
You know why, don't you? Because the business people started able to deal, and they could get a product, an inexpensive product, and sell it back home at an inflated price. Because when you got workers in Taiwan and in China that's making a fraction of what the Americans are making, you know, right now they're changing the minimum wage up at the first of the year. You know, some minimum wages in various parts of the country, man, like they're doing $10 in New York for minimum wage and doing $15 in some parts of California. You know, it's not going to do anything but just spread. But, you know, along with that minimum wage being adjusted, they're going to make an adjustment on how many hours you can work, the type of insurance you can get. It's going to be an offset on it. But it needs to be done. But it needs to be done decent and in order.
Get out there. Then we got around, we had these terrorists that was killing people, man. Terrorism, man. I think it was a husband and wife, wasn't it?
That did what?
This man killed all, he killed 85 people. 35 people on Martha Sucker, 20 Sucker. I think in California, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yes, that was. It was a husband and wife.
Yeah. Husband and wife.
Hey,
we started having trickling down effect. You started seeing this stuff happen everywhere. We had one guy.
Yeah.
Got a lot of people in a nightclub. Down in Orlando, Florida.
I got to thinking, man, it's kind of difficult to stop terrorism because it's a man thing. It's a generational type deal. Because you raise a kid up from the time he's 6 till he's 16, telling him that this is what you ought to do. This is about martyrism, you know, being a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
And you just indoctrinate them for 16 years, for 6 years, for 10 years. And then you start thinking, that's the same thing about us. If you raise your kid to think a certain way, and that's all he knows, and then so even when you're no longer around, he's going to say, hey, I remember I was brought up this way.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'd like to see that. We got anybody out there right now who will call in and talk to us and ask your opinion or whatever you think what's happening in America or over the world in 2016. Right now, I'd like to hear your voice and input. Anybody's input out there? You want to call? What's the number you want to
do? That number is 310-982-4126. We don't have any callers on the line at this here moment, but please, we invite you to call in and tell your friends all about us. That Free on the Inside is on the net, and we're discussing the year-end in review here with my friend and co-host, Brother Daniel, and myself, Minister Lewis, and we're just sharing the good things that God has been revealing to us through this past year and the different ministries and the different things that we've been involved in. Brother Daniel, you know, you and your family have been involved in ministry. Cause I love ministry, brother, because ministry saved my life. The word of God saved my life, man. I know that you and your family and some people that you're with have been involved in ministry. And you have support what we've been doing in ministry. You know, the last couple of months, man, have been very busy, brother. You know, when we're going over to the various places and celebrating holidays with our brothers and sisters that's less fortunate. And in turn, they are blessing us. You know, it's a blessing to be a blessing to someone. And, you know, and we want to carry that spirit on to the next year, bro. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. But come on, let's continue to follow up on the things that happened this year.
I can tell you, something happened to one of the main entertainers that he died on April 21st. You all know this is Prince died, man. And it's basically, when I first heard it, man, I was kind of, you know, I heard during that weekend, Prince kind of got sick on the airplane. Something told me, you know, I guess he's finna get ready to get out of here. You know, I didn't really want to say it. And then that Monday, they said, somebody told me, well, Prince died, man. He was 57 years old. He lived to get 57 years old. This man was a master musician, and he could play all instruments, and he kind of influenced a lot of people in the music world and all over the country and in the world. And you know, it kind of brought back a lot of memories, and basically we can attest that even that what's coming around now, a new year, new year theme song. I'm a party till it's 1999.
I remember that record. It makes me smile. Yeah,
everybody wants to party.
They're gonna party, man.
I remember that day. I remember that night. I can see that night. Me and a partner of mine, man, we were sitting up, man, and I was praying, and I was staring at the sky that night, and I wondered if I could be in the right position. And I get in the right position, in case something happens to this computer thing, and I can go and help my family and get out of trouble, and you know, everybody just at ease. You know, we was just, and then when it happened, oh man, sometimes you can't believe the hype.
Really? And that's the way it is today, you know, though, Rick, with the internet. If we were talking about earlier how the internet is so prevalent that people are posting stuff and people are reading things and they're acting on it without even giving it any thought, without even doing any research. You know, I like a good article. I like things, man, but I'm also looking in the background of that there. I guess I got that inquisitive mind. I'm not going to take things at face value. That's why I study the Bible. I hear scripture, but I wanted to go in depth in the scriptures. You know, I hear people talking, but I want to go deeper on the topic and the conversation. You know, and that's what we're calling for people to do today that we're encountering. You know, we need people to go a little deeper. You know, Brother Daniel, as I was looking over our archive section here, brother, and I recall how we had some people some time ago, and I really enjoyed this program was Finishing in Four. How we had a young man that's no longer with us today, but he had wrote a book that's saying finishing college in 4 years. That means that you had a goal. You had, yeah, that, you know, cause a lot of times people, let's face it, brother, you done been to college, and sometimes we get a little bit derailed. Well, it should be a 4 year college, you end up going 8 years, 10 years,
mine
turned
out to be
20. Yeah. And so you know how important it is to have.
Yeah, but I never gave up.
Yeah,
you know, but then some people are in a situation, they were, I'm saying, like his book or this discussion that he was talking about, basically, I wasn't educated in how to do this thing. And if the people get instructed on how to succeed with these courses that these instructors give you, it shouldn't be a real problem. But I'm telling you, what the main problem in going to school and colleges is discipline. Being instructed in how to deal with taking advantage of your time.
Okay?
How to use your time correctly.
Wisely. How to use it wisely.
Wisely. Time is money, and money is time. Both of these things, they go together. And most people that go to school don't have enough money to go, and so they have to rely on the federal aid program. That basically gets them indebted, and when they get out of college, basically here you are, you got a job, you're going to be a teacher, you're going to school, you're teaching at a school that's basically not paying you a lot of money up front, but at the same time, you got to pay this student loan back. And it's a big challenge.
Yes, it's a big challenge, because a lot of times the student loans, man, is so inflated and such a burden that when you get these jobs in less than the upcoming minimum wage, you get a job at a restaurant, you're making $8 an hour, and your student loan say, hey, wait a minute, we want $200 a month out of you because you owe us $18,000. You owe us $15,000. You took two courses. And so, you know, that's why our elected officials come in at, man. That's why it's very important for us to kind of keep our ears open and keep our mindset and kind of be aware of our surroundings, brother. Because we putting people in these positions in these offices and electing them, and we'll just kind of let them do their own thing for 4 years. Then we come back and say, wait, what happened? You know, and why hadn't you did the thing that you said you were going to do? So, well, I didn't think you really could. You didn't ever ask me about it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I think we're getting towards the
really
part
fault
of our program, Rev. Lewis. What else do you think we should be kind of covering right now? This is the middle point. It's a little bit out, about 3 minutes out. But it's about 8:33, 8:33, 8:33. You know. Can you think of some other host or guest you had on the show that's kind of real prevalent what happened in 2016?
Yeah,
Louis,
we had some great.
We got all of it on the
And I want to make mention too. I was over at the men's fellowship luncheon that's held every Tuesday at Papadola in Dallas, Texas, at Northwest Highway. And I met a few people over there that I had been encountering in the ministry, and a couple of people had been on our program.
It's the Bible class. That's why the pastor used to fix us up at Rev. Lewis. He fixed us up, and I mean, I go over there, man. I chow down over there. I don't do too much long like a real greeting, man, but. I went over there one day, man. I kind of fulfilled my plate up. He's a nice man. He's a good man. That man's a good man because he feeds everybody. Right? Am
yeah.
I right, brother? He feeds
yeah,
everybody.
Right. We had a great time.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't want too much on the stereotype, but they always saying that most of the preachers eat a lot.
Well, you know, brother,
man,
my grandmother
used to tell me, she said, when they were growing up, they used to have ministers and preachers used to come over every one of the members' house and eat. So you say, her daddy had chicken, and he'd kill a chicken every time the prophet come over the house. Then they say, he made all of them, he had 13 kids now. And all the kids had to wait in the back room till the preacher got through eating. And then they said, sometimes the big man eats so much. He said, man, sometimes there wouldn't be nothing left. So they had to go out and get him another chicken, kill another chicken and cook it. Because the man just stood up, he's eating and talking. And they said, God, I don't want to say nothing bad about the man. But I say, man, that brother man sure can eat. Yeah, it can't be eating, man.
Brother Daniel, most pastors I know, man,
they go out to dinner, man. They be eating, man. You look around these Ryan's kitchens, brother Daniel, that was a good meal.
That was a good meal. But at the fellowship luncheon, brother, we had a great time. We had some great discussions, and we got a chance to meet some good people over there, people that we had known in the ministry, some people that was up and coming in the ministry. I recall one young man that's he's Bobby. His name is Bobby, and he a former Christian pool player association.
Yeah.
And he said that how they was over at the college, and they were trying to get young men embedded in the college and in a career, and how they was being sponsored by one of the universities, and so that was a great thing there, because we need to have a social life, not only a Christian life, but we have to have a social life. And sometimes
you got to learn how to mingle with people.
You know, I learned, brother, you can do ministry over a lot of things. You know, you can minister up under the hood of a car while you're working on a car. You can ministry while you're working, while you doing some yard work, you know. So ministry don't have to be just embedded in just a teaching session. Life is ministry. And then we met a young lady over there that you know, this young lady, and then she lived an alternative life at one time, and now God has turned her life around. She was an ex-pimp, ex-prostitute,
ex-homosexual. She used to be dressed like a man, looked like a man.
Yeah, and see how God changed her life.
You can change it. You can change. A lot of people say, "Hey, man, God can change you. He can change you from anything. What you're doing. If you be on drugs, he'll take you off of drugs. If you a sex fiend, he can have you so you don't even want that anymore. I don't even want to look at it anymore. You know."
So those are the kind of people that we have been having on the show, and we're going to continue to bring on the show, because those are the kind of people that God have need of, man. These people that feel like, hey, because I live a life like this, and I'm unable to function in society without messing things up. You know, they feel like they locked out. Even a homeless person, when we want to engage with them, we got to let them know we just like them, man, and that God was just like them, because he came in the form of a man. You know,
I don't like that. I think my life ain't squeaky clean, too. But it was a period when to myself, when I was homeless, I didn't want to tell nobody. I had a whole lot of pride in myself, basically. You know, a little bit after my mom died. I didn't have no thing, man. I didn't have no electricity in my house. I was up in the cold, man, We lived in this apartment. They getting in this house. They getting ready to put us out this house. Joe, you know what I'm saying? And I sit in there for a whole month, 2 months in this house. I covered up with cover and stuff, you know? And I'll sit in the bathroom. I used to go and clean myself up and walk around with bags and stuff. And I say, Lord, why am I going through this? So God told me I have to let you go through something, Richard, in order to grow you up. You know, And everybody looking at me and they think, oh, he's so happy, he's happy. But basically, they didn't know what I was going through. They didn't know what I was going through. You probably didn't either. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? But it went on. It went on to that. Then basically, someone told me, God told me to clean myself up and don't look back. That's what he tells you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly
tells you,
right.
Set you in a certain direction, and I want to put you around people. He gonna send somebody to you to plant a seed in you to tell you something. The other day you told me about your pastor's wife, how she came to you when you was going through what you was going through. Right?
Right. Yeah. She's a beautiful lady, great spirit, will definitely touch my life.
She told you she was who God sent to you to plant that seed in you, because basically she saw something in you. They always see something in a person and wonder why that young man is going through. I can see greatness in him. Some people see greatness in you when you don't see it in yourself.
Exactly. And that's why you can't give up on anybody, man. And
can't
that's why
give
you
up
have
on
to be careful
nobody.
Of how you interact with people. You know, the scripture says,
be careful
how
you
entertain
you
strangers, because you may entertain angels.
An angel. Well, basically, we're going through today, and I got somebody else on Facebook I want to talk about. And I'm saying, let's see when he died. He died. Muhammad Ali. He died June the 3rd. Basically, when that kind of hurt me bad. When old Ali died, you know, he suffered a long time. Basically, he was shut his mouth. When we talk about people that can influence people, and you can influence people through what you say. Now, you know, like me and you are on this medium called the internet, and we get up to talk to people, and our voice is going all over the world. No matter who's listening to us today, Reverend Lewis, you know. I'm saying this. You know, I know we get around. We see a lot of people. But Muhammad Ali's voice was like influenced a lot of people, because when he first started off, he was real radical. You know what
I'm saying?
Right. I don't like this company. I don't like these people. You know, and basically, when you look at him, man, what's wrong with it? I mean, why? He's speaking the truth, but at the same time, the people in America wasn't really ready for that. You know what I'm saying? Because
it was a challenging time back then, Rick. And they weren't ready for an outspoken black man. They weren't ready for a person that could express himself.
That's why they respected him. You can respect a person that basically tells you how you feel about them and don't hide it. Hey, man, I mean, you did this to me, but, man, I tell you what, I don't really like what happened. And basically, all these talk shows that he basically came on, he told the truth like it is, was it? And they just, y'all ain't treating us right over 400 years.
He gained the respect of the society. He gained the respect of the people that he was talking to, because they said, hey, you're saying some valid points here. We got to hear you because you're saying things that we're familiar with. He wouldn't tell them that they didn't know about. He said, hey, why would I want to go over there and kill some people that don't know me when I can't even sit in a dining hall? I can't even go through certain doors. You know, he was speaking some things that they knew about. And it touched their hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, seemed like Elvis, something happened that just silenced his voice. And basically, if I look at all through the history of basically going through the late 60s and through the 70s, most all our leaders got killed. If they didn't get killed, something would happen to them. And basically,
silence.
So they couldn't
That's what the enemy want to do. The enemy wants to silence us. You know, he's an assassin, but he not. He want to assassinate your character. It ain't so much as killing you, because you'll become a martyr. But if he can make you look so bad that people don't want to hear you, that you don't have no value, man. And that's what society does. We pick and choose the people that we want to have value. And we have a whole... We have a whole a group of people, man, that people don't see no value in them. So we dismiss them, not knowing that they're valuable, man. They like that diamond in the rough. And that's why we have to be very mindful of these here, man, when we do the jail and the prison. That's why I bring on people with different levels of education, man, on the show, like AIDS prevention, man. I was a time that people didn't want to deal with AIDS. You know, that was a
terrible
disease. That you didn't even want to talk about. You didn't want to be with nobody.
That's another thing. You know, I remember when Magic Johnson first got sick, man. And, boy, everybody all over the country was just basically, we were scared. You know, everybody, I know. No, they didn't go back for that. When Rock Hudson got sick, and then everybody started wondering, man, and then look around, what's up? Man. But when Magic got sick, it was basically, I'm saying, man, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah. That's why we have people on here, man, that deals with that. You know, they have AIDS awareness, and then they got an AIDS month, man, awareness month. And so we try to bring people on here that are dealing with that and talk about the clinics and the drugs that's available and how AIDS is not a death sentence anymore. That.
AIDS is like a HIV. It's like a it's not a really cure, but it's a treatable condition. You know, they
it's
give
manageable.
You a lot of
it's manageable.
They give you a lot of pills to take. They got it, but every year God giving the scientists more knowledge and more sense, and basically they're getting smarter and smarter, and they understanding stuff. You got to understand something. You got to understand your enemy. If you want to go to war, you got to know your enemy. And it takes time to know your enemy. It takes time. You can be around with somebody and sleep with them every day and they still be your enemy. You don't even know it. You know? Yeah. All
right.
Yeah, that's kind of weird to say, but it's true. There's a lot of people involved in marriages and stuff. They don't really know they spouse, you know, and understand what we're going through. And at the same time, you know, all this is happening. But what I'm saying, like when Ali first came into the world through boxing, he was a great man through fighting, because he let us know that we can do everything we wanted to do if we wanted to achieve it. And he was the greatest. He was the greatest. He was one of the greatest champions I ever seen. And basically, we don't have too many real good champions really go through life without really messing up. You know, the only thing I could say Ali did, he had a lot of kids. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, that's a man and a human-like thing. You know, we got people in the Bible that had a lot of children. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, brother. Yeah, Brother Dane, we want to pause here for a minute. Our phone line is being filled, and we have several people on the line here. They say they want to listen to the show. I want to thank you for tuning in to. I want to thank everyone for calling in and continue to listen to this program. Thank you for supporting this program. That call-in number, once again, so you can share it with your friends and lock it into your phone, is 310-982-4126. You have myself, Minister Lewis, and Brother Daniels on here. We are hosting the show today. We don't have any guests, because we just want to do a review of our past shows and throughout this year, and just look back with the intent of looking forward. We want to thank God for everything he's done, for great guests that we had on here, great conversation. Brother Daniel, you really add a lot to the show, and we're going to continue this line of discussion. And if you have a desire to join us, please make note of it on your phone. You do you can press 1 on your receiver, and it'll lock me in, and then you too can come on and be a guest. But Brother Danny, we want to continue what we were discussing a while ago about the various guests that we done had on here. And you know, we had some time ago, we had this young man Derek Alexander with the Next Generation, and then we had Kara Reed, and she's a political educator. She went out to SMU and took up and she majored in political science, and she was kind of reflecting on what Derek Alexander was saying and how we got to continue to be out out front and doing things. And every generation have their own way of being noticed, you know, getting the eye of our city officials. So what the next generation and new group of people, Black Lives Matter, they doing different. They doing it different than what Martin Luther King did. They doing it different than what Jesse Jackson did. But I pray that they be effective in the things that they do. That they keep the situation up front there. They let people be aware of, hey, we're gonna hold you accountable for this. And now we have the videos, man. We can go live at any moment, and so that makes things a lot more available. It was a time we had to do some research, but now, man, you can pull your phone out and you can instantly catch the things that's going on.
You know, yesterday I was talking to the phone line on KUHN. You know, Robert Ashley was on vacation. He had another lady on there talking. And I asked her, do you think we will get any resolution on the way the people are treating us in America? The police force or the legal system is treating the Black Americans in our country. You think there will be any improvement in the year 2017? Or will they learn how to operate arrest process without ending in violence or some kind of shooting that's controversial? You think they will ever find a way around that? You know, will there be any kind of way you can basically say a police officer can stop a person and he won't use his authority in order to be a judge and an executioner at the same time? Right?
You know,
that's what they're doing. You're making a decision and you're being an executioner at the same time.
Bro, they come back from being educated, though, Brother Daniel. We got to educate our law officers. We got to have people that have compassion and people that have discipline. Because as you out there, sometimes everybody gets excited. We need level-headed police officers to be out there. Also, we need the citizens, too, man, to be level-headed. You don't need to go into conflict with someone when you need to just see exactly, well, hey, why you stop me? He going to tell you why he stopped. You don't need to be combative. You need to take that thing to court. You know, now, you don't want to be abused by an officer or nothing, but you don't have to take violence into your own hands.
The people have to know and the officer have to be educated.
You know, we had someone on here some time ago to tell us how to interact with our police officer. And that was an outset of that show with Derek Alexander and Carol Reed on how to interact with our police officers and city officials. You know, it's a way that we have to govern ourselves as a society. I tell you what, we can get more done. Now, we don't want to be abused and misused, but we have to be able to get our point across in a civil manner.
What you're saying, the people have to be educated and understand the arrest process. You know, you don't understand that when you get stopped, you are officially under detainment until that police officer lets you go. And that's no way around it. That's the way our law system has been set up. You know? And a lot of these Black kids, they don't understand it because basically they don't have discipline and the right to understand authority. They don't understand authority. And that's the whole problem with right now what's going on with our nation. Our land and our people and the young people, basically they don't respect authority. You know?
And that comes back to being educated and informed. And also letting them know, hey, I understand your plight. I've been through it. Rick, because guess what? Me and you done lived long enough to know that it's nothing new under the sun. The same thing that they encountered with the police officer, we encountered when we were younger. We have been arrested. A hassle after a stop, or we done been falsely accused, and we done been searched, and you know what I'm saying? Only through the grace and the mercy of God, and us being disciplined, not to escalate the problem. You know, when the police walk up to you, start reaching in your pockets and stuff. We didn't try to say you can't do this to me. You know, we have rights, but then you know, you say, hey, I'm gonna let you go ahead and do these things. It'd be safer to let them go ahead and do what they need to do, so I can get up out of here. But now young people say, hey, I'm not going to take this. You can't touch
they
me.
They call it live to see another day. Live to see another day. My dad used to tell me too, man, but you can't win all the battles. Sometimes it's brothers that just be able to see another than LeBron. Well, that's what I'm thinking about Friday. That's what I'm about telling everybody. You got to live to see another day. You got to know how to compromise and be humble. Yeah. Learn how to be humble. You can't fight everybody. You can't buck up against everybody. I know you think you strong and I can kill and do anything, but some people, you weren't meant to rule and be old. You know, you got to learn how to be humble. And then when you be humble, you can learn how to respect other people.
You know, and that's why you need to have people, man, that you can go to when you have any time. Like our pastors or city officials or even on city council, we need to have a network where, I want to address these problems here. I feel like I was wrongly stopped. I feel like I was wrongly searched. Now, I got someone downtown, someone across town that I can address these issues to without taking matters into my own hand. And that's something that we seem not to be aware of, that we seem like that we don't have no way out. I just want to handle this situation myself.
I can see over there in Fort Worth, when I see how, Fort Worth is kind of behind on a lot of stuff. Because I don't know what's happening over there. A lot of the leaders over there are not too powerful. If they are, they're being controlled. Because that lady came on TV and she told, and basically, if you look at that video, that police officer, he could have controlled the whole situation basically by getting away, going, calling backup. He tried to take the situation into his hands. He should have called in backup. I need some witnesses. No, man, bring me no comment.
Yeah,
you
just helped everybody there, yeah. That's way of doing it. You just stop and say, hey, nobody move. Let me get the backup. I get two people to talk.
You find out side, your side of the story. You find out your side of the story. And then basically we negotiate and find out who did wrong. But when you're dealing with women, and basically I saw that too, where were the men in this situation? Where was this boy's daddy?
Yeah.
That's somebody told me about, where was this boy's daddy? He out there letting this white man choke him like, hit him like that because he throw some pavement in his yard. You know?
Yeah.
What was it, you know what I mean? No, that's not getting the wrong woman. And then women...
You know, bro, Dan, we're getting ready to wind down this program here. We got a couple minutes, but you hit on something there because we did a couple of programs about
men taking
their rightful position.
We got Bud Michael, Jimbo Slice, Gene Lawler, John Glenn, Karen Fisher, what's her name? Debbie Reynolds, she died. Golly. A lot of people died this year.
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of transition through this past year. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
God is still in charge. God is still able. You know, we got a challenging time coming up here with our new president being elected in the office of his first term. Regardless of what happened, it's his first term. He got 4 years. We pray that God keep his hands on him and his cabinet. We pray that he gets adequate counseling regarding everything that he do. We pray that he don't take matter into his own hand and do his own thing, but he have a mindset of the people around him. We pray for one another because these are difficult times, Brother Daniel. And I want to continue to encourage you to be strong in the Lord. And thank you for your support of this program each and every week. Man, we're going to have a great time next year here. We've been doing this for a number of years, and I thank God for the new vision and the new mindset and the new and the fresh opportunity. I'm going to say fresh. It's a fresh opportunity to go into next year, man, and to make a difference.
Man.
You know, our theme is saying help change a life, man. That's what this is about, Brother Daniel. These are life-changing. You have not ever been around anybody that you don't make an effect in their life.
I really do what I do because basically I want to change people's lives. I want people to learn things and know that there's another way instead of doing what you do, acting violent and getting up and wanting to be insubordinate. There's no way around it. I'm going to say the prayer today, Bram Lewis.
Okay, you want to say the prayer today?
Yeah. Okay. Heavenly Father, we get ready to go into a new year. I ask you to open up our eyes and our ears of people, of youth, of Dallas, Texas, and Fort Worth, and all the surrounding areas. Let that not be any more bondage in our land. We ask for healing of our land. Heal the people's minds from being aggressiveness and violence and love. Teach people how to love each other, because we know that's one of the greatest things that Jesus Christ told us. We got to learn how to love each other. Love your neighbor. Love somebody that's different than you. Love them and respect them. So in the mouth for the powerful name of Jesus Christ, as we go into the year 2017, I want to wish all of you a happy new year and greater things to happen in this coming year. So right now we'd like to close our program. We say, believe in Jesus and everything else will come in order. So I'd like to move on now from there, Reverend Lewis. Thank you very much. I want you to appreciate you letting me be a vehicle for a lot of stuff that I have on my mind that basically I can't talk to other people, because basically they're going to, like we talking about earlier, they want to rally with you in disagreement and be all argumentative. But everybody has their own opinion. Right?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Brother Daniel, thank you. You've truly been a blessing to the show. It wouldn't be the same without you for this season here. We know everything is seasonal because we serve an all-knowing, all-powerful God, but our life and what we do is seasonal. So thank you for supporting us in this season, and we're looking forward to us having many, many more great conversations and great guests for the upcoming year. And I'm just excited about what God is going to do. Again, you've been listening to Free on the Inside, your host of Minister Joel Lewis, and our co-host Deacon Richard Daniel. God bless you, Brother Daniel. Happy New Year to you and yours. And thank you to our listening audience for supporting this show. Looking forward to you.
Especially for you.
So we have a great day.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
He'll tell
you
what
to do. Be not weary. Program on Saturday morning from 8 to 9. That phone number is 310-982-4126. 310-982-4126. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might.
Happy
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.